Good morning again. How many of you like to watch basketball on TV? Yeah? How many of you like to listen to announcers? Oh, not so much. It seems like every time I see a basketball game, there's a phrase that always comes out. Oh, he's in the zone. There's always a player that's in the zone that seems to have, as they say, the hot hands, that hits the bucket every time. And we know what it is to be in the zone. That's when everything's clicking. Everything's going right. The natural talent takes over. All your training takes over. You throw the basketball toward the hoop and you score the points. What about in our lives? Can we be in the zone in our lives? Everything clicking, everything going right? How about at work? You know, you go to work and everything is right there. Everything you do that day is just right. It's pleasing to you. It's pleasing to your bosses. You're making headway. You're in the zone. But see, there's also living a Christian life that you can be in the zone. To be in the zone in your Christian life, you have to be connected. You have to be connected to Christ. Where you draw on your talent, the talent that He's given you, you draw on your training, just like basketball. You're trained to be a Christian. You know that? Did you know you're trained to be a Christian? You're taught by your parents. You're taught by your friends. The pastor of the church, the Sunday school teachers, you're trained, you're brought up. And when you're in the zone, all that things comes back to you. At work when things are clicking, at church, in Sunday school when things are clicking, teachers when the kids are getting it, you know you prepared well, that's clicking. You're connected to Christ. Let's look at a scripture today. I want to look at John 15, 1 through 8. The scripture is going to be very familiar to those that are doing the mind of Christ. We've read it already. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that you will be my disciples. We're challenged to live in the zone. We're challenged to live a connected life with Jesus Christ, with our Father God. 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself. See, we can't be fruitful on our own. You can't cut a branch off of a grape arbor, off of a grape, and have it produce fruit. It'll just wither and die. Jesus means by abide in me, abide, the translation here means where you stay. Jesus is telling us to stay with Him, to live with Him, to keep His presence the whole day. If you're a believer, Jesus' presence is always with you. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But do we pay attention on a daily basis? Do we pay attention minute to minute, hour to hour, which we should do? Sometimes we forget and we don't acknowledge His presence. We begin our days in a mad rush. Out the door we go, heading for school, heading for work, maybe late, just in a rush, our mind on the day that lays ahead, the challenges, the problems, and all that does is rob us of the peace and the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Finally, at the end of the day, we collapse in exhaustion. Ladies, you that hold down a job outside of your house, you have children to care for, it's never ending. It's up in the morning. The timing has to be just right to get the kids ready for school, to make sure their lessons are done. They got clean clothes. They're prepared for the day. Then comes your time. Maybe not much time left. You have to grab what you can, and out the door you go. Rush, rush to your job. Work at your job all day. You come home. Oh, there's homework. There's dinner to prepare. There's clothes to wash. Dishes to wash. That can rob you of the joy of Christ. Where is God in that life? Now, husbands, I don't want to leave you out of it. I know some help their wives, some more than others. And I know some men that lead that kind of day also. Caring for kids, doing homework. Things are pushed aside. And too often the things that are pushed aside is Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. I want to admit, when I was in school, I hated history. I hated dates. I hated learning dates. But you know, as I got older, as Robin can tell you, I've grown to love the History Channel and the things that I read. And I read a lot about Christian history. And I enjoy it, the way things were. Now, there was a group of Christians, the Celtic Christians. And their lifestyles were a lot like I just described. Yeah, maybe they didn't have the same jobs to rush off to or cars to think about. But everyone worked. It was a agricultural, primarily agricultural life. The men and the women worked in the fields. They took care of their children. They faced problems like we face, and some problems that were a lot different from ours. They faced being raided by the Romans, Irish, the Vikings, anyone that come across their shores they had to guard themselves against. But from the writings and the literature they can find from that time, they find out that their life was hard. But they incorporated Christ in every aspect of their lives. I wrote down a little poem. I guess you would call it a poem. They tried to bring a religious ceremony to everything in their life. All of us wash our faces in the mornings. Or I would suppose we all do. And here's a thing they would repeat. A palm full of the God of life, a palm full of the Christ of love, a palm full of the Spirit of peace, Trinity of grace. And that's how they would bring Christ into their lives. They would speak of Him in their daily tasks, everything that they did, even their children. They encouraged them to pray. Here's one that they had their children recite. Even as I clothe my body with wool, cover thou my soul with the shadow of thy wing. They managed to bring Christ into the most mundane parts of their lives. Their lives were hectic and busy. They didn't have a lot of free time. When it was light, you were tending the fields. You were repairing the things outside. When it became dark, you cooked the meals. You sewed, you repaired your clothes. That was 7 days a week. And yet, by their writings, by their poems, they were very happy. They were complete in Christ. Now, there's nothing spiritual about a lot of the things that we do in our lives. There's nothing spiritual when we jump out of bed late for work. But it could be. We're not so different that we can't think of God in our day-to-day work. We can memorize scriptures. We can hum some of the hymns that we sing. We can do a lot of things. I read a story in Windows, Open Windows, a long time ago, and I've always remembered it. It was about a mailman. And as he dropped the mail in everyone's mailbox, he was a rural postman, he said a prayer for the people that lived in that house. Most of them he didn't know. He knew their names on the cards, and that's all he knew. But he said that he said a prayer for each house that he stopped at. He said by the end of his route, I was so full of Christ, I couldn't contain my joy. Wouldn't that work for us? We don't deliver mail. How many people do you see where you go to work? How many cars do you see in the parking lot that you can say a prayer for those people? Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. He's saying, include me in the details of your day and I'll be with you. I'll fill you with my presence. Presence enough to give away. And that's if we're connected to him. These verses that I read, he mentions three ways your life will benefit from being connected to his presence. First of all, your life will be more productive. 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What's Jesus talking about? What kind of fruit? Well, the first thing I believe is a fruitfulness of your lives. How fruitful you are at work. Are you productive? And how about at home? Are you productive at home? We're talking about the fruit of your labors. I'm going to see if I can say this name right. Some of the other guys might have to help me. Oral Hertzinger. Is that right? Herzinger? Pitcher for the Dodgers? Hershiser. In 1988 in the World Series, it showed him in the bleachers or in the dugout leaning back with his hands behind his neck and his eyes closed. Looked like he was sleeping. One of the most important games of his life. And there he was. And every time they cut to him between innings, there he was. Eyes closed, head back, calm, peaceful. Johnny Carson interviewed him and asked him about that. And he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I was praying. He says, that makes me better. It makes me a better player. It makes me calm, relaxed. Now, he was a pitcher for a famous team. He's in a World Series. But when it comes right down to it, he is nothing more than an employee working for a company, making a paycheck. Maybe he made a lot more than we do on these paychecks. But he's no more than an employee. And what about you? What about your job? Can you relax in your job with the help of the Lord and be productive? I believe we all can. I don't care what your job is. I tell you many times that I have to pray when I'm going to work because I'm just not good enough. And I believe that. That it's God working through me that allows me to accomplish what I'm called to do on a day-to-day basis. And I've come to rely on him. To lead me, to guide me, to keep me strong throughout the day. And that will work for each one of you. You just have to be connected and allow him to come in. You know, I've had guys come in and tell me, there are a lot of people in and out of I call it an office, but it's not an office. It's like a little cell. And tell me things that have happened to them, you know, and I take time to pray for them. Maybe not out loud, because some of them don't want to hear it. But I still say a silent prayer for them when I know what they've been through. And it works. It works for me anyway. It brings peace and comfort to know that maybe God will talk to them. Maybe God will help them. So I believe each of us can be more productive in our workplace if we stay connected to God. I'm not going to leave you retired people out of it either. Stay connected to God and you can be productive in your retirement. There's always people to reach out to. Always people need touched by a word, a card, merely your presence, just to show that you care. And I know we have a loving bunch in this church that reaches out all the time. And I praise God for that. And I give Him the glory for that. But there's another kind. The fruit of our labors. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, God has given us all gifts. And those are called out. Love, peace, kindness. And to be truly productive for Christ, to truly understand those gifts that He's given us, you have to be connected. Connected to Him to know when and where and how to use those gifts. Even to know that you have them. The compassion to reach out. The things that you do for Christ to touch so many people. Second thing you'll learn is to be more selective. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. My grandfather was a gardener. He loved the garden. He had two great big vegetable gardens, and he had a huge flower garden. And all I can remember about the flower garden was we weren't allowed in it because we broke the flowers. And I was just little. And when he allowed us to help, that mostly meant we got to carry the bucket while he trimmed stuff or pulled weeds. But I remember his rose bushes along the front of his house, and he pruned them back. And everybody knows what it looks like when you prune rose bushes back, right? Looks like they're dead. A few sticks sticking up, and couldn't figure out why he was cutting them all down, because, you know, to me it seemed logical that the more branches you have, the more flowers you're going to get. Well, Grandpa knew better than that, and he pruned them back. And sure enough, the next year, they were bigger and better than ever. And so you see, God's like that. God's like, He knows what to prune. And we're like I was back then. It just looks like we're cutting a bunch of sticks off. See, life is a process of pruning. So we learn to separate the bad from the good and the good from the better for our lives. And God is continually pruning our lives and trimming us up so we can produce more. Just think what the rose bushes would say where they're being pruned. I think they'd say, ouch, because it hurts. And in our lives too, when God prunes away the dead or prunes away the things that are keeping us from reaching our full glory, it hurts. We'll say, ouch. But if you live connected to Christ, He'll do the pruning for you. He'll reveal the things that you need to shy away from, the things that you need to eliminate. What are the things He prunes away? Well, one of them is time-wasting activities. Now, I'm not talking about leisure activities, because just as Melody read the funny stories for us, God does want us to enjoy ourselves. There is a place for play in our lives. But God helps get rid of the things that are not beneficial and bring no glory to Him. It's too easy for us to overcommit our time, as I referred to them, busy days. and get involved in a dozen different projects, and in the long run, we can't complete because we're overextended. God helps us to weed those out and leaves only the things that our time and energy are best spent on. Another area that He prunes us is in destructive relationships. Sometimes we find ourselves in relationships that don't benefit anyone involved, and God will prune those out of your life, as painful as that may be. I'm not saying He doesn't want you to be friends with non-Christians. How else are we going to reach out and be the help, be the guiding light in their lives? What I'm talking about is the relationships where we don't have the strength, we don't have the willpower to be the change agent. That instead of pulling them up, we're getting pulled down. Now God will prune those out of your life because He knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows how a relationship will end out. So if we're connected, God will prune away those dangerous relationships. Another area that He prunes us is in our sinful behaviors. You see, He will not allow sin to reign in our lives, to be our ruling factors. When you begin to abide in Christ and you live every moment of every day for Him, just as the Selig's tried to do, you will draw closer and closer, and the sin in your life will drift farther and farther away. It'll be a natural thing that happens. When I talk about sin, you know, I'm talking about all aspects of sin, not those major ones, but those small sins that we commit. We really don't pay attention to things that we need to change. But as you draw close, God will start to convict you of those things. And your life will change in a natural rhythm. And those things will no longer seem important to you. And you'll wonder down the road, well, why did I ever even do that? Well, it's because God was working in your life. Because He's bringing you along at the pace that you can stand. That He's strengthening you for the days ahead. If you sin, does that mean you lost that chance for that day to abide in Christ? Not at all. You're welcomed in. You're welcomed in with love. You're welcomed in with another chance, another day, another movement forward. And the third way you'll live, the third benefit being connected is your prayers will become more effective. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now this particular verse of scripture is debated and debated on what Christ meant. Now I want to tell you a story first. A young couple needed a night out, so they hired a babysitter to stay with their little girl. And they went out and had a good time. They got home and asked how things went. And the babysitter said, well, it went okay. She had trouble going to sleep at first, but we talked and she drifted off and everything was fine. She's sleeping fine. And the parent said, that's just great. We're glad everything went so well. And as the babysitter was getting her coat on ready to leave, she said, oh, and by the way, I told her that you will buy her a horse and a pony in the morning, so... she's expecting you to buy her a pony. Well, now the parents faced the challenge of explaining to the little girl that she wasn't getting a pony. But back to that scripture. I believe Jesus meant exactly what He said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now the little girl wasn't going to get a pony. But Jesus tells us that we'll get what we request of Him. Too many times people try to qualify that verse as saying, yeah, He said that, but. There's no but. There's no conditions on that promise. Jesus made that promise knowing that if you abide in Him, He is with you. The things that you ask are going to be in line with what He wants for your life. That you won't ask any longer out of greed. You only ask out of want. You won't pray out of selfishness. You'll pray out of desire for someone else. You won't pray self-centered. You'll pray for others. He knew exactly what He meant. He knew exactly what it was for us to allow Him to abide in us, that our lives would be changed and our desires would be just what He wants, what we want in Him. An example, a child may ask for candy for every meal. There would be Christmas every day. But as adults, we know that can't be. As we mature, we find out things that can't be. And it's the same way in the life of a Christian. The things that we pray for, the things that we ask for, change as we mature. And that's what Christ is talking about. Our connection to Him is what keeps us in that zone, that keeps us clicking, that keeps us moving forward. And our bad days at work become less and less because those things no longer matter. What matters is our life with Him, how our day is going in comparison to His presence. We look back on our year behind us and say, was it a good year? Did we have a bad year? Materialistically, we could have had a bad year. But at the same time, spiritually, we could have said we had a great year. We were close to God. God prunes these things away from our life out of love for us, knowing full well when the pruning is done, our lives will bloom once again brighter than they were before the pruning. And I truly believe that the word for today that God laid on my heart, Him first. Him in everything. Focus on Him and we'll get by. Whatever problem comes up, He's already there. He already knows about it. He's ready to reach out to. We'll have a chance to pray here in just a minute. And I want to close by saying that I truly believe if you want your life to flow more smoothly, if you want to be productive, live a fruitful life, you've got to have that connection. Maybe you have that connection that is just starting to slip a little. It's not too late to go to Him in prayer. Talk to Him about what you heard today. Pray about it. You don't have to believe me. Go to the Scriptures. This is just what God laid on my heart this week. You just need to recognize that He is always there with you. We all stand, please. Heavenly Father, we bow before You, Father. You truly are the master of the garden. And Father, I just pray that as You speak to our hearts today, that we would understand it is through Your love that You prune away those things that are destructive. You take away those things that separate us from You. Father, I just thank You that You draw us close and You show us the desires that are good and those things we have to walk away from. Father, I thank You for the leadership in my life and in the life of those in this church. And I just pray that today we can strengthen that bond as you reach out for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still music today? So again, you don't have to wait for the music to start.